chapter 19, where Bartimaeus' eyes are open. You see it in John chapter 9, where a man who was born blind's eyes were open. But brethren, this morning I want us to consider Acts chapter 9, where a man we are very familiar with named Paul or Saul of Tarsus was blinded. But his eyes have been opened. And I am sure that you're very familiar with the story of Paul. Or we'll refer to him as Paul throughout this evening so it's not confusing. But Paul is a very familiar story to us. And his conversion, we're very familiar with that. We find that Paul has had a very troubled past. You're familiar with that. He is the one who stood by as Stephen, one of the first martyrs, was stoned to death. Witnesses laid their robes at Paul's feet. Paul was one of those who was in hearty agreement to put Stephen to death. Paul was one of those who went on persecuting followers of the way everywhere that he went. He was a severe persecutor of Christians. And we find that as people, some of the first Christians, early Christians, were scattered throughout the regions of Asia Minor and so forth, Paul went on, and he was one of those who went out to persecute these Christians. Remember in Acts chapter 9, we find that Saul is still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and he goes to the chief priest, or the high priest, to find letters to go and find these people in Damascus and bring them back, imprison them and throw them into Jerusalem in that prison. And so Saul is on his way to do this. He has a very difficult and troubled past. And he has made it his sole mission to make the lives of Christians absolutely miserable, to imprison them and persecute them in every way that he can. And yet we find that as Paul goes and he tries to persecute and imprison these Christians in Damascus, we find that Paul becomes one of them. A man who was a severe persecutor of the way becomes a proclaimer of the way. And so we pick up in Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 1 of Saul's story. Acts chapter 9, begin reading with me in verse 1. It says, "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters for him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up, enter the city, and it will be told what you must do.' The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing this voice, but seeing no one. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank." And so Saul begins this journey to Damascus, which was in the region of Syria. And as he's making this trip, there is this light that flashes around him from heaven, and he is completely blinded. He can't see a thing. And the Lord comes out to Saul, and he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Which is to say, if you're persecuting followers of Christ, you are persecuting the Lord himself. And Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord tells him that it is him. And Paul is blinded, and he tells him to go to Damascus, and it's going to be told you what you must do. And he goes there and is 3 days without sight. And it's during this time the Lord comes to Ananias, who is the person who is going to go to Saul. The Lord comes to Ananias and says, "Go to Saul. He's in the area of Damascus at the house of Judas. And I want you to go and lay your hands on him and bring him this message." And can you imagine how frightening it would be for Ananias to do this? I mean, we see that very thing. Ananias says that. He says, "Lord, you want me to go to Saul? This man was sent here to bring people back to Jerusalem who were followers of the way, and you want me to go and talk to him? Wow. But he goes. Ananias goes to Judas's house, and the Lord reassures Ananias that Paul is going to be an instrument in my hand. He's going to be an instrument in my hand to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to the household of Israel, the sons of Israel, the kings, and so forth. And so Ananias comes to the house of Judas, and he tells him that the Lord has sent him here that you may regain your sight. And he lays his hands on Paul, and he immediately receives his sight. And Ananias says, "Now, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And Paul does that. But what I want you to understand this morning is that Paul's conversion to Christ becomes a turning point in his life. That his eyes have been opened not only literally, but even much more spiritually. He is a new man in Christ, with a new purpose and a new mission. And this man who had been a persecutor of the way becomes a proclaimer of the way. He is no longer imprisoning people, but with the gospel message, is able to teach and preach this to the world around him, to set free those who are imprisoned with the chains and shackles of sin. And he's going to be an instrument in the Lord's hand everywhere that he goes. And Paul is told that he's going to be persecuted pretty heavily. Paul is going to be going through a great deal of suffering and hardship and persecution. But what sets Paul apart from everybody else around him is the way that he deals with those trials and sufferings and persecutions. Because Paul sees hardship and persecution as an opportunity for the gospel, where others might see them as obstacles and challenges. Instead of letting those situations discourage Paul, where he is going through great persecution and hardship, what Paul does is he has his eyes open, and he looks for opportunities to share the gospel message with people who are blinded by sin. And so that's what I want to think about this morning. Eyes that are open to the opportunities before us to share the gospel in a world that needs it so desperately. Because just like Paul, we are told in Romans chapter 6 that our baptism into Christ is likened to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We are obedient to the gospel. We are baptized into Christ. We are burying that old man of sin, and we rise to walk in newness of life. And we too have a new purpose. We too have a new mission to bring the gospel into the world that we live in. Our eyes are open, and that's our purpose. And that's what I want us to talk about this evening. And I want to do this by tracing this theme throughout the book of Acts and looking at Paul's life and how he used those kind of situations in his life. And so we'll do that. We'll look at three passages tonight, and there are so many others that we could look at that would be important to our study tonight, but I want you to consider three and the applications that we can take away from them. And the first one is here in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 19. This is right after Paul's conversion. I want you to pick up with me in verse 19. It says, Acts 9 and verse 19, "Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, 'He is the Son of God.' All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, 'Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on the name of the Lord and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?' But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. And when many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall lowering him in a large basket. What I want you to notice here is that from the very beginning, Paul has his eyes open for opportunities to preach the gospel. Right after his conversion, he begins right away proclaiming the gospel of Christ. He doesn't wait until he finds an opportune time. It is urgent for him. This is something that needs to be done now. And he starts proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues, saying that he is the Son of God. And you know, when people hear this, they are absolutely astonished. You know, here's this man who has gone for the very purpose of imprisoning people who were followers of the way, and now he's become one. And people are absolutely amazed at this. Is this not Saul who came here for this purpose of imprisoning the Jews? And now look at him. He is preaching about Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. What I want you to notice is that the change in Paul's life becomes an avenue for him to share the gospel with people around him. That people see this transformation in Paul's life, where he had gone from a persecutor to now a follower of Christ, and they are absolutely amazed by this. Can you imagine the conversations that Saul had with people around him? As some of these people come up to Paul and they say, "What happened? How did all of this come about? This isn't the Paul that we know. How did this all happen?" And Paul gives an opportunity. He gives, it's an opportunity for Paul to give a defense of the gospel, to talk to people about the hope that is set up for him, a reason for the hope that lies within him. And what I want us to realize is that the same thing can be true for us today. That by the transformation of our life, when we give our lives to Christ, we obey the gospel, it becomes a door of opportunity for us to share that good news with the people around us. When we give ourselves to God as living sacrifices, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewal of our minds, that we begin to think and act the way the Lord wants us to, we begin this new life. It gives us an opportunity to share the gospel with people around us, people who knew us as a different kind of person. Maybe it's our friends and our family members who come up and ask us, "Why do you live the way that you live? What's happened with you? Why are you living so differently than the person that I knew you to be?" And that is a door of opportunity for us to teach these people about the greatest news in all of the world. But if we're honest with ourselves, I think sometimes we see those opportunities as an obstacle. We worry about what to say or how to respond to the questions that people are going to ask us. And what do I do in those situations? And maybe you feel uncomfortable sometimes, and we kind of just psych ourselves out about all of it, and we don't use those doors of opportunities. But I would suggest to us this morning that, like Paul, we need to stand in the shadow of the cross. We need to exalt the Lord as the one who has done all of this for us. We need to give the attention to Jesus and think about the bigger picture in front of us. And I fear that so many opportunities pass us by on a daily basis because we're fearful about those kinds of situations, because we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. And that's a struggle that we all have. But don't you think Paul had to get out of his comfort zone? Go back with me in Acts chapter 9 and verses 26 and 27. Paul had a difficult past, as we pointed out. And there were a lot of bridges that he burned that he was going to have to cross back over. Look at Acts chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. It says, "When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus." Do you remember what happened back in Jerusalem when Paul left? What had just happened in Jerusalem? Paul was there when Stephen was stoned. He was in hearty agreement with persecuting these Christians. That was the the imprint that Paul had just left. And now he comes back to Jerusalem and he wants to associate with these disciples and they don't want anything to do with it. They think this is a hoax. That Paul is just going to try to imprison us or persecute us. But Barnabas, the son of encouragement, comes along and stands up for Paul. Paul had to get out of his comfort zone in a lot of ways. To go back to Jerusalem and try to associate with the disciples. And it took courage. And it took boldness on his part, but Paul was willing to do that. And what I want us to realize is it's going to take courage and boldness on our part to go out into this world and to take captive those opportunities before us to share the good news with those around us, to be willing to step out of our comfort zones and say, I'm going to take this opportunity because it might lead to someone's soul being saved. I'm not going to worry about myself. I will study for myself and I'll be able to give a reason for the hope that's within me. But I'm not going to let myself become fearful and I'm going to step out of my comfort zone because just maybe when I take this door of opportunity, it might lead to someone's soul being saved. And may God help us to look above ourselves, beyond ourselves, with a bigger mission of seeking and saving those who are lost. There's a second example I want to share with you tonight in Acts chapter 14. Turn over to Acts chapter 14. Where again we see Paul's eyes that are open for an opportunity. Acts chapter 14. Here in chapter 14, Paul comes to Iconium and then goes on to Lystra. And it's here at Lystra that Paul heals a man who has been lame from his mother's womb, who has been lame all of his life. And as soon as Paul sees him, he sees his faith and Paul says, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped up and began to walk. And they begin to think that Paul and Barnabas are some kind of gods. They think Paul is Hermes and Barnabas Zeus, but they say, no, that's not it. We're men just like you are. And this is on their first missionary journey. But I want you to go down into verse 19. Look at Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 19. And this powerful example of where Paul's eyes are open. Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. It says, but Jews came from Antioch in Iconium, having won over the crowds. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city the next day when he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. After they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch. Notice verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Think about how powerful this passage is. Paul has come to Lystra and he is stoned so badly to such an extent that they think he's dead. And they drag him out of the city and his disciples come and they surround him and they see Paul. And Paul, you kind of get this picture in your mind. Paul is able to kind of get up on his own and he is just absolutely bruised. He is mangled. He is marred. He has been stoned. Can you imagine what his face would have looked like? His body? And Paul says, Barnabas, we need to go to Derbe. There's still work to do. And so they go and they preach the gospel there and they make disciples there. Would you be that quick to get up and go on and preach after being stoned to that extent? What kind of boldness, what kind of courage Paul had? It says, I'm not going to worry about myself. There is a greater mission involved to seek and save these souls, to bring them to Christ. And Paul does that. And yet what Paul does next is incredibly humbling. Yet at the same time, motivating and encouraging. Notice what he does in verse 21. After Paul is in Derbe, he comes back to the very place he was stoned nearly to death. He returns to Lystra to Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Paul comes back to this place where he was stoned not to take vengeance on these people who had done this to him, but to strengthen the souls of the disciples. Can you imagine if you were a Christian in this part of the world in this time frame and you experienced this? Imagine being gathered together and you see Paul walking from a distance and you see this guy, he's got a limp and he is bruised all over his body. His face is marred. And he comes up to you and says, with many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you, if anybody else said that, that would still have been true. When Paul says it, it resonates with you. When Paul has been stoned so badly, he comes back and says, with many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. That sticks with you. Because that's a man who lives the message that he preached. That is a man who is coming to encourage these people. What an amazing picture that is. Think about how encouraging and uplifting that would have been to a Christian in this time frame. Because they too are going to experience persecution. They too are going to experience suffering. But you know what's in the back of their mind that whole time? And they're being persecuted and maybe whatever else might happen to them. It's in those moments that they're facing that persecution. They go back to that day when Paul came here and he stood before us, bruised all over the place, beaten. And we remember what he said to us. With many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And I can't help but imagine how much that motivated them and helped them endure all the way to the end. It probably did more good for those Christians than we could ever even begin to imagine. And what Paul did there is he had his eyes opened. He saw this as an opportunity to empathize with these people who were going through this difficult time, to encourage them and to strengthen them in the faith. And he came alongside them and says, I know what you're going through. I know what you're going to go through. And I want you to continue in the faith because this is just part of it. And if you endure and you persevere through all of this persecution and suffering, there's something far greater awaiting you. This is just light momentary affliction. But there's something far greater for you if you endure during this time. And what I want to suggest to us this evening, this morning, is that we have the opportunity to do the same thing if our eyes are open. We have the opportunity to come alongside fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage them to remain steadfast and faithful and endure. And realize that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Because there are things in your life that you've been through that maybe someone else is going through at this moment in their life. There are things that you have endured and persevered through that maybe someone else in this audience or this room this morning has gone through or going through right now. And you have the opportunity to encourage them, to let them know what kept you going, to let them know what helped you endure through those difficult times. Maybe not be on par of what Paul went through with his life. Or maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've come to that low point in your life, you lost a job and you are at a crossroads, you don't know what to do. There's someone here who's lost a job as well. And maybe you can get together with that person and you can find encouragement from them. Or maybe you've been through some kind of personal crisis, whether it's a family crisis or a financial crisis or spiritual crisis. And you have the opportunity to be an influence to somebody else who's going through that same kind of crisis. And brethren, we need that. We need to use the resources we have with one another. And we have to keep our eyes open for those opportunities. And I'll tell you, you'll never know the amount of good that you can do when you come alongside a fellow brother or sister in Christ and you let them know that you've been through it and that you're there for them. And can you imagine the good that this can do in terms of personal evangelism? Think about all the people in the world that you know. In the community here in Bowling Green, maybe the people that you work with or your family members who are going through some kind of crisis that you've been through. And that's an opportunity for us to come alongside them and tell them about the peace and the hope and the comfort that we can have through a relationship with God because of what Jesus has done for us. So that's the second example for tonight, where Paul emphasized with these Christians. Look at the last example with me in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, Paul has come to the city of Philippi. And pick up with me and starting in verse 19. Acts chapter 16 and verse 19. When her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to beat them with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet into the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in the house. And he took him that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into the house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. So Paul and Silas have come to the city of Philippi, and we realize from this chapter that there is this girl with the spirit of divination. And she was proclaiming in this chapter that these men are bondservants of God. And Paul silences her, and he casts out this spirit. And the masters are obviously upset about this. Their hope of profit is gone from them. And so they create this riot. They say that these men are doing these things that are imposing these customs on us. And so they have Paul and Silas beaten and thrown into the prison. And their feet are fastened into the inner stocks. Yet after all these terrible things are happening to them, we find in Acts chapter 16 that at midnight, Paul and Silas are praying to God and they're singing these hymns of praise to God. Would you do that? Can you just imagine for a moment having been beaten to such an extent and thrown into prison? Maybe the last thing on our minds would be of giving praise to God, of singing these hymns and praying to God. But as they do this, this great earthquake happens and the prison doors are open, and the jailer is thinking that his life is about to end, that he's going to kill himself, because in any way his life is going to be taken from him because these prisoners were released. But in a moment when Paul and Silas could have been concerned about themselves in a moment where they could have used this as an opportunity to escape and flee the situation, Paul and Silas are more concerned about this man's soul than escaping. And so they come and they preach the good news to him. And at first, the jailer comes before them and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they say, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And that very night, the jailer takes them and he washes their wounds and he's baptized into Christ. What really mattered to Paul and Silas in these times was not so much their comfort or their security or their safety, but it was about getting the good news of the gospel to this man. And they saved his life that day in a physical sense, but even much more so spiritually, as they imparted to him the words of life that are able to save his soul. One of the things we see over and over again throughout Paul's life is turning these difficult situations, as bad and as hard as they may be, into opportunities where he can share the gospel with people around him. And his eyes are open. And that needs to be the same case for us as well. As we look into our world, we have to realize that the fields are white for harvest. That we live in a world that is full of lost souls everywhere that we go. And my encouragement to us would be to look for these opportunities, to keep our eyes open and not let them pass us by. And brethren, I think it starts with a realization of how much we have been forgiven. We go back and we realize the grace that we have received from God. That while we were dead in the trespasses and sins that we were once were in, we can be made alive through Christ. And we will never begin that journey to reach out to the lost world that we live in until we understand the depth to which we have been forgiven. I want to go and share that message with people around us. And so if you're here tonight, or this morning, maybe you're in darkness. Maybe your eyes have been blinded because of the sin that you've been wrapped up in. What I want you to realize is that there's hope. That you can turn to the light of the world in whom salvation is found. And just like Paul, rise up from baptism into Christ, where your sins have been washed away. Rise up and walk in newness of life, to which you too can have your eyes open to share the gospel with people around you. Maybe you're here this morning as a child of God and you've fallen back into that dark and sinful lifestyle. You've not been walking in the light. And there's hope as well if we turn back to God and seek His forgiveness. Or maybe you just need the encouragement of this congregation. You've not been doing personal evangelism as much as you should. Whatever your needs may be spiritually this morning, we want to encourage you now to come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.